Now, this is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right. I am continuing Miss Daisy's tape on Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right. I'm continuing it. This is Channel 2 Right, and I'm continuing Miss Daisy's tape from the Monday, the 1st of July, on Channel 2 Right.
Trying to help you to get. Then my children going to school. I didn't allow them to bring me no message on the teacher. I said, now, the teacher is helping you. I said, she's got hers. And now she's trying to help you to get what she got. I said, whatever she said, do, you do that. I said, cause you is in her care. I said, she ain't going to whoop you for nothing. They lied and whoop them, didn't they? I said, she ain't going to whoop you. Don't you do something? I said, the way to keep her from whooping you, obey her. That's what to do. They didn't do that many times, Mr. Miles. If the teacher done anything, tell them. They didn't tell me. They didn't tell me. Well, from time to time, I'd see the teacher, talk with the teacher and ask her how they act. Did they obey her? Or was they bad? Was they hard-headed? She'd tell me, no, sir, they was. Said, Miss Daisy, I'd let you know. I said, you be sure to let me know. I said, and I think me and you together can put him in his place. Yeah, my children no trouble, my children. And they didn't get a teacher no trouble, neither.
And you didn't have to have all these reports from the teacher. You just every now and then see the teacher.
Yes, every little and while I see the teacher.
That's all you need,
talk
buddy.
With her face to face.
Yeah. Miss Daisy, are they learning anything now?
Yeah.
Are these children learning anything at school
no.
now?
No. I don't see them learning nothing to learn. Mr. Myers, how can now these here, they don't have no homework. They don't do no work at home. My children, when they was going to school, sometimes they'd have to sit up till after 10 o'clock trying to get something.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm trying to get something. And they work at it. I tell them, I said, I never seen such a school in my life. I said, these children, they don't never have nothing to do at home. The mom don't give them nothing to do. And the teacher ain't give them nothing to do. The shit kid, I said, homie, we got to do something. I said, well, you don't do it. I said, you don't do it.
But they said, back then, the teacher didn't get nothing much.
No,
out of
sir,
it.
They didn't.
And now, teachers get much money.
Yes, sir. They
cashier of the bank.
Well paid. And I say, Mr. Miles, the worry and the trouble they have to have with these folks' children. They don't get a dime too much.
That's right.
Dime. Because I couldn't be a school teacher. I wouldn't. Of course, if I'd have had a chance to go to school, I'd have took some other job. Student teaching school or being a seamster. I don't like that.
Yeah. That's sort of confining.
Yes, sir.
But you sew all right, smart.
Yes. I sew for myself. Of course, I can't sew much now. My machine got out of fix. All the sewing I do, I have to do it on my fingers. The machine got out of fix. And I can't get nobody to fix it. You know, it used to be somebody would come along every once in a while, working on it. But it ain't been nobody along here none. I don't know when. I can't get nobody cared nowhere.
Daisy, I don't see anybody coming along looking for work like that anymore.
I don't. I don't. I don't see nobody now. But it have been some good ones come through here.
That's been some time?
That's been years ago when I lived over yonder.
It was one
come along. I don't know what become of him. But I do wish he would come by. Well, he'd fix it.
Miss Bessie can't even get a well fixed.
What do you think?
So you can't even get your well fixed.
Well, I got it fixed now.
Well, how'd you get it done?
I sent for a man in Williston. The man I get gas from, The little boy told me that his boss fixes wells, and I said, he do? He said, yeah. I said, well, you send him over here. And he come right straight.
Oh?
He wasn't but a half a day getting my well fixed.
Well, I miss a lot about Bessie.
He wasn't but a half a day. And yeah. I mean, he fixed it too. And the water just flows.
It does?
Yes, sir. The water just flows, but it's kind of muddy, like, you know, till it gets settled, you know.
Yeah.
You can use it, you know, like for cooking.
Yeah.
But you can't just drink it, you know. I guess water is easy to drink.
Uh-huh.
But it's, he fixed it. I mean, he put a jet pump on it. I mean, it's a good one.
Oh, he did.
Oh, and he fixed it up. He really fixed it. And one but a half a day I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Getting it fixed. And he found out the tank was leaking at the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, he went back to Wilson and brought a tank. He put a new tank on there, sold that old one away.
Yeah. That's all you can do.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You've got too much pressure. Yeah.
I couldn't get none of these people around here. This man promised me. Old Emmett come here away for about an hour or two and messed it up and went off and come back about 3 weeks afterwards, and he done that twice.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't get him to do it. So James just told him, Emmett, you just don't come back no more because you ain't doing nothing. So now just leave it alone.
Well, now that's the way it's working now, Miss.
That's right.
Ain't nobody coming around like
that's
they used
right.
to.
That's
and,
right.
And do it.
Just almost 3 months.
Well,
down at James asked.
Yeah.
He said he'd be up here. I'd be up there the day after tomorrow, he said. Ain't seen him yet.
Yeah. Well, now, what sort of well man's that?
I don't know. But this young man, he brought his men here with him. He brought 3 men. And they just went right to work.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long fixing it.
Uh-huh.
And when he got it fixed, we had a tank leak. He said, well, I'll send a man over here with the tank. He says, now, it went but a few minutes before he was back here with that tank.
Is that right?
And put it on.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. I said, well, no more fool around here with these people. I will, anytime things don't get wrong with my well, I'm going to get this man.
Get that gas man on
yeah,
the...
Yeah, he's
the
a
hook.
Good one.
Yes, sir.
I
yes,
didn't
sir.
Know it, but the little boy told me that he was all right.
Well, now, if you could get service like that, Miss Daisy, you wouldn't have much to worry about.
That's right.
Yes,
sir.
You see, I'd like to tell you, don't fool Mr.
Before
Hale
you
can no
find
more.
You.
Mr. Myers, I'd like to tell you, don't fool Mr. Hale no more. So he messes around, too. Joe Hale.
Yeah.
I'd like to tell you to try this young man, but I'm telling you, give you a satisfaction.
Yeah. Well, I sure glad to know that.
He certainly gives you satisfaction. Now, yes, sir. And he's no foolishness about it. He just come and go right to work.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad. I'd rather go here and see this old man ready for some supper.
You mean he's not had no supper yet?
Uh-uh. We don't have no supper, Mr. Daisy.
Well, it's going to be dark in a minute. Too late now for supper, Miss Daisy.
Well, you have supper. It won't be supper. Won't be a midnight snake. What will it be, Bessie? Something to eat.
Yeah.
Well, I won't cross you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always, you know, I likes to talk with folks that talks about something. You know, I don't like to hear nobody just talking the whole time.
Yeah.
And ain't talking nothing.
Yeah.
I just fed up with that quick.
How about that? That's about all I hear, Miss Daisy.
Well, no, now you talk. Me and Miss Bess, we can talk. And we think we talking with sense. We trying to.
Yeah.
Well, we enjoy that. We enjoy when there is folks who talk. You don't get nothing out of nothing.
Yeah.
They say.
Yes, sir. Well, we ought to sit around and talk just a little bit more, you know, like.
That's
you,
right.
You just don't stay around here forever.
People ain't got time to talk.
No. Just too much business.
Yeah, too much business. The Lord says he's living his life. So I guess that's the way the people live.
Yeah.
Living a life.
Yeah. His life, he's living.
And what a life some of them living. What a life.
Man, you get true. A regular dog life, some of them living.
Yeah. And don't want you to interfere with them.
No.
Good enough.
Yes, you know that's what kills poor lives. That's the truth. That's what kills.
She just had all she could take.
I told her, I said, Liza, I said, now listen. I said, don't sit down and worry about this thing and that thing, because those people, you can't do nothing with them. So you might as well let them alone.
Yeah.
You see this? They would come in there drunk. You know what I mean? That word. I said, just let them be drunk. Let them lay down and go to sleep. And you go on about your business. That's all. How do you do? And let them alone. But she started quarreling.
But Liza, she was a worrying kind. There's a little something could happen to the church or happen to someone. Wouldn't she just have a fit about that? Well, I guess it was all mixed up there together. Drunkards and church business and push one thing. You can't make nobody do nothing.
You mean she had to put up with stuff like that in the church?
She put it on her. Nobody bothered, but she some just looked like just like worrying about the drinking. Well, that's any little thing, but she just worried about it. But I still don't know what she died with. I just don't understand. Mm-hmm. I don't know where did she die. No one.
She died heartbroken, that's all. She died heartbroken, that's all. Because when you get tangled up and worried up like that, you got as much as you can gonna take.
But
and
I
so
just can't understand her screaming like that.
Yeah,
like they said she did. That sounds like nerves or something.
Well, you see, that was a heart.
Well, I don't know why I can't on like that with heart failure. Never. I've heard folks say, doctor said they had a weak heart, so-and-so got a weak heart. He bothered with his heart. Then I hear them say, well, so-and-so died today. Mm-hmm. had a heart attack and died. But there wasn't no, I don't get them.
You know, if a person can get so upset that it
That's
just...
That's right. It just, I'm like nervous.
It just... You just reach a point where I guess you just can't hardly stand it. I don't know.
No, you can't.
I don't know. I never thought Liza would worry that much. I knew, you know, I knew she was pestered and all.
I think I am.
See, they got the car lights on now. Sky is still light, though.
Yes.
You and Mr. Boys. Boils.
No. It's too much round.
Yeah.
Best I got a clear view.
That old car, I've been
trimmed it once.
Yeah.
Adam sick or something.
He was over there yesterday.
He was at the church.
I know it. I seen him. But I noticed when they got up to view the body, you know, he was sitting right on the end of a bench, mm-hmm. just like that, coming back. And somebody cuddled to his arm mm-hmm. and kind of helped him.
Oh, I didn't know it. I never
noticed
it.
You see, he was real next to the front now back then. And I wondered. But when I come out, I didn't see him, but I guess they'd gone on.
Yeah, I spoke to him outside.
To the grave.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to him outside. He's up to the grave. You didn't. Mm-hmm.
Well, from what you all say, I'm going to have to change my view of Miss Liza right smart. I done the best I could according to what information I had. But
well,
I can see
I
how I missed
was
out right
good.
Smart.
Yes, sir. That was just nice enough. What you going to change it to?
Well, I got to let her worry a little bit.
No, you don't have to worry. It's gone now. Oh, please, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you. And everybody thought so.
Yes, you know. Mm-hmm. They... You see, I reckon they wonder how he knows so much about Miss Lyle, you know? Where
mm-hmm.
she come from and everything like that
uh-huh.
up in Georgia. Yes, sir.
Well, it can't be pretty unless it's right, you know.
No, that's right.
And you see,
they're gonna have a what is Dallas? They're gonna have a youth program or something like that. And she wanted Mr. Meyer to put that.
Play the tape.
Yes, put that on OC Church when they have that.
Yeah.
I think it's going not gonna be so long.
Yeah. Yeah, I can pick out. Yeah. She hadn't heard that, has she?
I know it's just
and
like
he take it and she didn't know it.
Uh-huh.
No, she didn't know it.
Oh, she just didn't let on, you know. She paying attention.
Well, you come for it.
That's right.
So you're going to send me ahead.
I just sitting here thinking about your poor old man over there, just his stomach gnawing.
I better go. There, this I'm gonna put you down. I'm gonna leave. I find Mr. Myers here. I'm gonna leave you. If I can go.
I imagine he could find something to eat himself if he got hungry enough, couldn't he?
He would. You know he ain't working. He ain't doing nothing but resting, Mr. Miles, and eating.
Yeah.
And if he feels like he want a whole little bit, he get out there and do it. He ain't feel like it at all today.
And I didn't ask.
Yeah. You can get out of that habit mighty fast, can't you?
I'm telling you. He sit here and get so rested, Miss Bessie, and he go back to his job. It'll be hard on him.
Now that's the end of Miss Liza's, Miss Bessie, Miss Daisy's tape on Miss Liza. That's the end of Miss Daisy's tape on Miss Liza, and this is around 2:20, channel 2 right, around 2:20 on the Sony dial. This is Miss Daisy's tape on Miss Liza on Monday, the 1st of July, 1968, with Miss Bessie on her porch after supper, just about dark. This is Fred at the store on Uncle Mitt and Miss Liza. This is Fred at the store on Uncle Mitt and Miss Liza. This is Tuesday.
Enough money, though.
2nd of July, 1968. This follows the tape by Miss Daisy, and Miss Daisy followed the tape by Miss Bessie. And now this is some general information on Uncle Mitt and some of his friends, and Miss Liza, Fred at the store this Tuesday afternoon, 2nd of July, 1968.
Are you still cutting hay?
I rain too much.
She wanted to get enough money to. I think one thing is worrying her. She's afraid she's gonna get help if she gets truly blind.
Yeah.
And she wanted the welfare to give her enough on a check to.
I sell your cornbread.
50 cents a dozen.
50 cents a dozen.
Yeah. Build her a room there, the way she could get that Carrie's daughter to come up there and live. Carrie's daughter lives on a bad hill too, I think. She's pretty good. Not like Carrie. She's pretty sober and settled. I know I was talking to my sister Sunday up there. Sunday that she died. I didn't even know she was sick. She said they had a letter from her and asked me about it. Didn't come under my sister's jurisdiction. There's another one was welfare worker down here. It came under her jurisdiction. My sister asked me if Liza got the full amount, and I told her no, that she didn't, but I certainly thought she ought to have the full amount in the condition that she was in. And she said this Mrs. Fuquet was going to come down and talk to her about it. I think that's one thing that's been kind of worrying her.
Yeah, she got so she talked about it right smart.
Yeah.
Make a list. Uncle Mitt.
He did a little farming or around when he was able. I think he got a pension too. He made a little money down on the East Coast. One time he went out there around Dane and planted some tomatoes.
Oh?
Made some money out of it down there.
Oh, farming.
They had a peanut deal over there. He planted peanuts and sell them. That's where we had all this allotment and all on.
Mm-hmm.
A little patch of okra, peas, stuff like that.
Down on the East Coast.
Yeah. No, up here. He helped me a little bit up here once. He helped me pick eggplants. He was kind of crippled up though. I don't know, he had a stroke or what. He had melons and cake mix, milk, and 2 flashlight batteries.
Yes.
And how many corns?
Half a dozen.
What do I have?
Get some, Miss Bessie?
No, I didn't.
You paid me for your gas yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's what I said. I didn't have no charge to you.
He had a horse.
Yeah, oh yeah, had a horse and wagon.
Drive all around you with.
Is that right?
Sure.
Pretty good horse?
Yeah, he's a pretty good horse, Brian. He had 2 or 3 horses. So most time he kept a pretty good horse and wagon too.
Well, now what?
Liza worked then too. She,
Well, now that's what I want to know. What she
came,
did she do?
She used to iron for us, and I don't know if she ironed anybody else or not. She'd do a little housework. Most of she did our iron back then. She used to iron for us regularly. She was a real good for a long time, too.
Well, now how long would that take?
She'd probably be up there.
Oh, half a day, maybe a day.
Yeah, but once a week?
Once a week.
Well, now, would she go somewhere else?
I don't know. I don't know whether she did anybody else or not.
I never heard it. I never
I
heard
it. I don't know if she helped Miss Boyles. I believe Maggie helped Miss Boyles all the time. Maggie Jackson.
Oh, yes, that's right. She helped Miss Patterson for a while.
Yeah. I think that's about the time she was helping us, too.
Yeah. Well, for most of the time then when she lived here, she didn't work out.
She got a pension. She got a welfare check. That's what she lives on. And then she sold a place over there too, you know, the Lower Johnson.
Well, but she didn't get a welfare check till after Uncle Mitt died.
I don't know whether they were both getting checks then or not. I think they were. When they started giving those welfare checks.
Yeah. Well, it hadn't been too long.
So you got another half a dozen, didn't you?
That's
right. Peanuts around there. We used to come down here. Eating parched peanuts, he smelled so good, and he's telling those parched peanuts. Many times standing by that stool back then, had his pocket full of parched peanuts, live at 6 for him.
Yeah.
Six, 7, 8, 9, 10. He makes 20. Thank you.
Well, he kind of like Miss Liza, pretty straight fella.
Yeah, Mitt was all right. Both of them all right about paying the bills. Yeah, paid the bills.
Huh? He didn't get off and spend money or anything like that.
No, he was most too old. I don't know what he did in his younger days, but pretty well crippled and settled down when he was up here and came back up. Liza traveled all over the United States. She worked some. Rich somebody up somewhere or another that just took along to take care of the children or do housekeeping or something for them. She'd been all around.
That's before she come up here.
Before she married me, I think.
Well, they moved up here in 28, friend.
Yeah, that was long about the time of the storm. Mitt had a brother, I think, was drowned in that storm down there, or else he exposure and all finally killed him.
What happened to Irvin?
There was one they called Bus. Now, he got in a shooting scrape with a man down there, and he got killed. And the man came up and shot him, and he went in his house and got the gun and followed this man down and killed him and came back to the house and laid down and died. That was one that called Bush. And he had a sister named Nettie who died with consumption. She lived over in a little house close to Lyons. No, forget her. She wasn't anything but skin and bones. She died. She used to be one of the best bean pickers in this country. She picked 15, 20 handfuls of beans a day.
Good Lord. That's one thing I never learned to do, is just kill my legs, my knees.
My back.
Hmm.
I didn't know anything about Eliza's people. I knew more about Mitch and I did her. She's born up in Blackshear, Georgia, I think, somewhere in Georgia.
Jessup.
Yes.
Moose Jessup. She's born in Montgomery County. Fred.
She went.
She had a bad storm, killed all those people. Had bean pickers all around Lake Okeechobee. They're living in shacks, and they didn't have those levees around Okeechobee like they have now.
Yeah.
And when that torrential rain and wind came in there, well, it just blew the ocean right out there.
Yeah.
Over.
Yeah.
Lake Okeechobee, and it just drowned a whole bunch of them over. I don't know. I think about 2,000 people drowned in that thing, wasn't it?
I hate to think.
I think that's probably huge. I doubt if they really know how many there was, because there's all migrant labor down there, mostly.
Yeah. Didn't have a track of who
was. A lot of the niggers from around here, after that happened, they moved back up here. They didn't stay down there any longer. They came back up here, and then they stayed a while, and then they'd go back down.
Mm-hmm. But I keep
most of them, at that age, was medical care.
Yeah.
Well, I've had pretty good health.
Yeah.
She died. Now, Mitt, she probably had a pretty good deal of tail. Mitt over there.
Yeah.
She was sick a long time. Mitt, he lived 2 years after he had that stroke.
Yeah. Oh, that was just after. I see. He had that stroke as long towards the end.
He came back up here. I don't know whether he'd had a stroke years before that or not, because he always dragged on his legs. He walked like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Must have had a stroke or something. And I forgot now how long when he had his first stroke over there, but it almost totally paralyzed him. He was just helpless over there for 2 years. She had to wait on him. Well, he'd sit up in a chair and they'd shuffle around a little bit. He knew it was hard to get out of the house after that.
Midwife
is laughing about something.
You were telling something on him when he got off of that.
Another thing.
That fella in the sheriff sent
a family of people that live right across from your field you were talking about a while ago. You know, the road went up there and turned sharp to the right and went down there and turned to the left. They straightened the road out when they graded that thing over there. They Richin owns that place now. That used to belong to Mac Moore. Mac Moore had a big bunch of boys over there. He had one boy he named Cathartic. That was a boy named Cathartic Moore. And one of the oldest boys was named Will. Well, he was close around Mitt's age. He was younger than Mitt. Well, Will was a hard-working fellow, but he couldn't stay out of jail. He loved to get in jail. He was home when he was in there. We had him down at Mary Camp, and when somebody went down there to get him out, the old boss told him that he didn't want him to get him out. He said, "That's the best man I got in here." He said, "You're going to ruin my whole field crew here when you take him out."
Yeah, right.
he knew all the bosses down and all. He just... Back when he was in jail, he was almost at home because they all liked him. They knew he'd work. They didn't have to worry about it. They knew he wasn't going on off. He did about like he pleased.
Now, what was his name?
His name was Will Moore.
Will Moore. Is he the one that...
Up and the sheriff at Brooksville knew him real well. So he got Mitt.
Well,
were going, he had a truck, and he wanted Mitt to go to Tampa or somewhere down there with him. I didn't know where he was headed for. But anyway, they got a little booze and got out in Brooksville. And sheriff caught him down. Put him and Mitt both in jail. Liza didn't hear a thing in the world from Mitt. She didn't know what had happened to him or anything. She was worried. About a day after the thing happened, she got a wire. We had a Western Union station over there. Liza Washington. I'm drunk and in jail. M. Washington, Brooksville, Florida. Well, old Mitt never had been in jail before in his life, I don't think. And that thing like the word of death. Yeah. She was really embarrassed about that. The sheriff knew old Will, and he was the one that sent the wire up him. He did it as much for devilment as anything else.
Yeah.
Well, they turned him out. I don't have to charge him anything.
Yeah.
He might have just picked old Will up because he thought he was drunk and kept him there to sober him up. He might have done that.
Moore.
Will Moore.
And they lived on down below where I am.
Yeah, that little. You may have made those orange trees may still be there. It was about two or three orange trees used to be there. The old house had torn down. You
over
still
on the north side of the road?
Yeah.
Across from the. That old grove.
Yeah.
I see the fence road going.
Yeah, you can see the remains of the old road there now. If come by your property and turn west.
Yeah.
And went on down and then it turned, hit that hill there and went on up the one that goes by Jesse Walker's over. Behind the house, between the house and where the Pearsons live. We had a white fella at Chef Crop with us, and his name was Yates, Melvin Yates.
I heard your mama talk about it.
He was plowing corn out there one spring.
That was after your daddy died.
No, that was before he died. That was in the spring of 19 and... must have been spring of 1930. But anyway, Melton knew old Mac pretty well. He, both of them farmed, you know. Melton was hot and all, and he stopped the mule at the end of the road, and Mac was walking down to the store. And right there at the corner where Pearson lived. He spoke to Mac, and Mac spoke to him, and he asked him how he was. And Mac told him, he said, well, said, his last words was that all a man gets, you know, a poor man gets, is a living and a killing. He walked down the road 50 steps and dropped dead.
Good Lord.
That was his last,
word.
To Yates. Yates told me that a lot of times.
Yeah. Well, now, that's the Yates that your mama kept on after your daddy died for a while.
Well, he worked at that. He's dead now.
Yeah.
Died of cancer. He was a terrible drunkard, but he quit all the way around. You don't get to each other.
Yeah.
Drinking 25 or 30 years before he died. Man, he sure used to put on some terrible ones.
Yeah.
Get out and get in car wrecks and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, really?
For sure.
What do you know?
He'd always have a, I don't know, it preyed on his mind. If he got drunk, got in a car, he'd get every old gun he could and put in. Rifle, and he was crazy about pistols and rifles and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He was a good farmer, though.
Yeah. Wasn't lazy?
No, sir. He wasn't lazy a bit in the world. He's done some hard work in his day. But you couldn't help depend on him. If he made a bunch of money, well, he'd liable to have it maybe a week. Just blow it all in.
Is that right?
Yes,
buy a car.
Buy a car, or take a trip, or do something, wind up drunk, and somebody take it all from him, I reckon. What really would happen. Getting a poker game, lose all, something like that.
God.
Drinking after he got married.
I've been married 12 years. He got drunk and they picked him up the road there somewhere and they put him in jail and they told him that he had run over a bunch of children and killed them. That's what they told him in jail. They'd like to scare him plumb to death. He told me about that and he swore off after that. He didn't touch a drop. Guess he hadn't drank any in 25 or 30 years.
Just scared him off of it.
That's what he told me. He said that they'd like to word him to death when they told him that.
Yeah.
I think the judge gave him a pretty good talk to do too when they got him out, his wife went up and got him. Started working up again. Did pretty good up there. Made some money. Get my car around. Have it checked over with Paul and Powell. He worked around there. Boy, he'd ask me about everybody down. About
yeah.
The color down to white.
Yeah. Miss Bessie said she got a fellow over at Williston to work on her well. And this boy who was in here the other day delivers gas from over there. The one that told her about it. He works for this fella. Had you heard about him?
Yeah, you mean at Bottle Gate?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I know there's some well diggers over there. And some plumbers already told them what they want to call them.
Yeah.
Frank Williams down here, pretty good pump man too.
He said he promised to come up there and he never showed up. I called down there and told him I was having trouble to talk to his wife and he's going to call me and I never heard from him.
What you got up, Toby?
Oh no.
That's the end of the tape with Fred at the store on Tuesday, the 2nd of July, 1968. That's the end of this tape. It's a short but a remarkable tape. All those pictures that he puts in without effort. They just come to him. He doesn't have to recall, and he's got no wooden language. We've always thought of Miss Anna as the one who conjured up these people. Fred does it too. He doesn't have that manner of Miss Anna's. It's straightforward. Now, no one ever taught him this. Just part of his personality, I guess. But in this little tape, he has a half a dozen or so marvelous little sketches. This is Channel 2, over, around 5:40 on the sunny dial. Channel 2, over, around 5:40 on the sunny dial. Now, this is the end of Miss Liza's tape and Fred's narrative. And that's the end. That's the last thing on Miss Liza's reel. I'm going to add the funeral of Charlie James. That was held on Sunday, the 22nd of September, 1968, as I remember. Sunday on September the 22nd, 1968, as I remember. And Reverend Williams was the preacher. And this, then, will be just opposite his eulogy for Miss Liza. It'll be just opposite. And the other speakers in the funeral, too.
We thank you for these opportunities that thou have been so kind and so good to us to lengthen the bricks and threads of our lives and give us this opportunity together to see each other's face again. We pray that thy blessings upon this Marie family. Oh God, we pray that thou would guide them through seens and unseen.
Yes.
We pray that thou would keep the arms of protection around them. Lead them over hills and valleys. Lead them on to that land of promise. Have mercy upon us. Bless all of us this evening. Give us courage. Bless our leaders here and everywhere. Have mercy upon us. We pray thy spirit to guide us day by day, night by night. Keep the arms of mercy around us. Protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Then when we are come to the end of this journey of ours, don't leave us, but guide us on the other side, as Job says, where we will cease from trouble. Saints, rest in peace with God. This and other blessing we ask in thy name and for Christ's sake. Amen.
Everlasting to everlasting, thou God, thou turnest men to destruction, and say, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight, as but as yesterday when it is past, and as it was in the night. Thou carest them away as with a flood, they are as sleep in the morning, they are like grass that groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and is cut down, in the evening it is cut down and withered. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath with trouble. Thou hast set our iniquity before thee, the secret of our sins, and the light of thine countenance. All our days have passed away in wrath, and we spent our years as a tale that is told. The day of our years are 70 years and 10. If by reason of strength there be fourscore years, yet is thy strength labor and sorrow, for we are soon cut off and fly away. Who knows the power of thine anger, even according to thy fierce or thy wrath? So teach us the number of our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy service. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to thy days within we have made us glad according to thy days within we have seen affliction, us, years within we have seen evil. Let the works appear unto thy servant, and the glory unto thy children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hand, yea, the works of our hand, establish thy yet. We read the entire 90th Psalm for our lesson. May the Lord bless the reading of his words to the good and edifying of our soul. As a neighbor, Mr. Uriah Gill.
Pastor, the officers, members of the fans, and to the new family, I'm trying to talk on the life of Brother James as a neighbor. So James lived several miles from me, but it don't mean the one that lives the closest to me is your neighbor. But James was a few years older than I, but he was my best. That's something a little closer than the neighbor. He was
my budget. He would talk to me about things that was his business. He would tell me about a lot of things. He would tell me how to go through life. And number one, when I was converted at this altar, quite some years ago, Brother James was right by my side praying. And I don't know just what happened, but when he prayed, you could feel it. Yes. You know, sometimes we get out and pray and it's just words, but it was power, man. And I was converted in the revival with Brother James. Was praying. I don't know if anybody that you could I could recommend today that was more easy to get along with. That I would want to live around any better than I would want to live around those things. I don't know if anybody knows anything about him that they couldn't get along with, wouldn't want to live close by. I remember he used to sit right here. That's a space that's going to be hard to fill. You come down on the hill here, down in the valley, up to the church, and get on top of the hill up there, and if he was praying, you could hear him hollering in here. Calling on Almighty God. And he sits there from that time as long as he could. And I know he prayed there when he gets old and feeble. And you couldn't hardly hear him sitting in the choir. But he was calling on God. Yeah. I don't know. I could just talk about him right on. I love to talk about him. I love him. And I believe he loves me. The way he treats me, I know he loves me. Sleep on, Brother James, and take your rest. We love you. God,
my tape recorder wasn't working right, and most of this is not recorded well. The voice doesn't come through clearly, and I'm just taking down one or two things that do come in.
Number will be mine by Reverend Cannon, Pastor Valen, Pastor Mickey Nope, the line to him. God, well done, rest from thy loving glory. The battle is fought, the victory is won. Enter into the master's joy. The voice of midnight came. He started up here. A mortal arrow fills the spring. He fell, but feel no fear. His sword was in his hand, still warm with recent sight.
Now I'll have to leave Reverend Cannon lining out the hymn, as I have left out a good bit of the rest of it that was interesting, in order to get Reverend Williams' eulogy all on this tape.
Pastor Mickey Nopin, to the bereaved family, members, and friends. It's not a pleasure of mine this afternoon to have these eulogizing words of one who have outran me. one who have made his peace call, one whom have made his election sure, and has one whom has paid the debt that we all too must pay one day. Good or bad, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we all must give an account of the deeds which has been done in the body. Whether it be good or bad, we must answer before the judgment seat of Christ.
Good.
And it behooves us to gird up our lives that we may run the race with patience, that we may endure hardness as a good soldier and obtain a crown of life when done with this world.
Amen.
When we have closed our eyes in death, we would like to hear that voice pronounce unto us, well done. We'd like to meet our loved ones whom have gone on before us. We would like to hear that voice saying, come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit this kingdom which was prepared for thee from the beginning of the world. According to the obituary that Brother James had a very nice chance to make it in. 88 years or more, he labored and taught in this life. A few days ago, the income, and I am biblically thinking this afternoon that he have made his peace call and his election sure. He talked to me many times about life. But my friend, the Apostle Paul said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. You must die in a carnal death to obtain eternal life in the world. And in this world, we, as the Apostle Paul, we are tent builders. We are building tents in this world. A few days, time will decay the tent, and we must move out of that tent. And after moving out of that tent, where are we going? Has you prepared for another building of God, not made with hand, but eternal under the kingdom? You know what we're going to talk to you a few moments from the 14th chapter of the book of Job. And you may read it at your leisure time. So man lies down and riseth not till heaven be no more.
Amen.
He shall be awake, arisen out of his sleep. Subject we're using all the days, my mind upon a time, I'll wait till my change comes. A few days ago, 88 years ago, the late Charlie James were waiting on a change. Sometime he was misunderstood. Sometime he was called as maybe a bubble on the water. Sometime he may have been called as a Beelzebub. But he stayed at the helm till the storm of life was over. He knew common judgment would tell him at the sunrise in the east, Mexico over in the west, that man will lie down one night and rise not. He will give up the ghost. Where is he? But I see the late Charlie James, more than 88 years ago, he grasped the master's hand.
Yeah.
In an early age, he said, now I know that this earthly house of this tabernacle will dissolve. Our house, another building of God, not made by hand. And if this earthly house shall dissolve, I'm going to move out. Move. If you move, where are you going? As you prepared for another building. Oh, Lord, on all the days, my appointed time, will I wait till my change come? By and by, shame in this life. We must pull off mortal, must put on immortality. When it comes to pass, death has followed thy victory. Oh, Lord, long time ago, I promised Jesus at conviction wall, if you hold my hand, I'll go all the way of that illicit road. And when the times you break down eternity, I have a home, not big with hands, but eternal in the kingdom. Oh, yes, more than 80 years ago, James caught the master's hand, said, I'm going all the way. I got to look the road. I go for friend don't go. I go for neighbor don't go. I go for brother don't go. I'm going all the way.
Amen.
All of these, my appointed time, will I wait on my chain. My friends, one day, you must stand before the judgment bar.
Yeah, yeah.
One day, every eye shall behold God, and every tongue shall confess. But I see the late Charlie James sitting at the wardroom in glory, just waiting, can't crown him till I get there. And when all this ecdelogic horse coming up with palms of victory in the hand, say, I've been redeemed, I've been watching the brother lamb. I'll be there. I'll be there in the morning when the trump shall sound in glory. When the roll is calling and dying, I'll be in that number. When the crown of Lord of all, I'll be there. Fight. Due to the war. When the war is over, when soldiers must come off the field, when all this and diligent horse will come up with palms in the hand, I'm going to see the late Charlie James just waiting till the general is called. And when the general is called, they said, shake me, wake me, and don't let me sleep too long. Yeah. Thank God Almighty. He's going to get up that morning, healing in his way. Said, I've been redeemed. I've been watching the brother lamb. I know that my redeemer Leo going to build down in my soul. One morning, you'll meet him over yonder with convocation never break out. One morning, on Canaan Fair. It has been last way back to the circle line.
Yeah, I just barely got through. Amen.
That's the end of the Reverend Williams obituary, the end of Reverend Williams obituary, and the end of Channel 2 over, the end of Channel 2 over, the end of the Liza tape, with the addition now of the funeral.
Now
when when a general is called, they said, shake me, wake me, and don't let me sleep too long. Dead God Almighty, he's going to get up that morning, healing in his way, said, I'll fit.